This is the State of Things live from the Upstage Cabaret at Triad Stage in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio. Protests over the verdict that freed George Zimmerman continue in the Triad and elsewhere in the country. An estimated 200 people turned out in Greensboro Sunday night. Another rally scheduled for this evening in Winston-Salem. Tim Hopkins was at the gathering in Greensboro on Sunday. He's an organizer with the Stop Mass Incarceration Network. Tim Hopkins, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have
you here.
Let me ask you a little bit about the rally, because I understand it was a fairly spontaneous event on Sunday.
Well, yeah, and first of all, it was about 400 people. That's what the newspaper reported, but we, by the literature we got out and the head counting we did, and sometimes they always downplay it, but this was a very important thing. And like I was saying before, you had to be pretty numb if you didn't know one of the most important trials in recent history was going on in Florida. And people were told to let the system work, stay home, be quiet, et cetera. But very quickly, it became apparent to people. I think people here might be nodding their heads that something wasn't right, that the prosecutors weren't prosecuting. If you watch the witnesses, I said, I thought that was a prosecution witness, and it turned out helping the defense. So we fully thought, some of us, that definitely Zimmerman was going to walk or get a slap on the wrist or there'd be a hung jury, and none of those were acceptable. There were people in housing projects that we know people everywhere. We worked a lot against the building of the jail here in Greensboro, so we know a lot of people. And what we did was we went into the projects. We know people there, so people came out with us, and we had a big banner, the first thing we did, that said, we are all Trayvon, the whole damn system is guilty, and had the websites, including Revolution Newspaper website on there. And about 100 people signed it. We had it, displayed, and people got up on the microphone. We had a speak out. And we said, the day of the verdict, let's come downtown. Let's come to the Civil Rights Museum. It's a historic place. I mean, that's where something really started, quite frankly, but obviously isn't finished.
Well, and there was a march to the jail, too, and I think that's significant for your organization.
Yes, exactly. Once we came downtown, then we definitely had planned to go to the jail, because that needed to be, pointed out, that it was full of Trayvons. There's 80% of the people in that jail are African American, and a huge percentage of them are young males. And
well, that gets to something you said, that people said, well, look, let the system work, and then obviously we saw, I'm paraphrasing now, something was not working. I think the deeper fear is that it was working, that this is precisely the way the system is rigged, and so, yes, 80% of that
Bingo.
Jail.
No, that's exactly right. One thing we were pointing out in our literature, that slavery was legal. Jim Crow was legal. The prisons are full of people who have been legally put there. And when Jim Crow, we were at the museum, and when that was made illegal, they have what we call the new Jim Crow. And I think I've heard on this show and others, where people have dealt with that and see the mass incarceration of people of color is the new Jim Crow. So we wanted to speak to all that, which we did very forcefully and peacefully, I might add. Of course, they were, oh, watch out, people will do all sorts of crazy things. But I think we gave people a space to vent, to yell and scream, jump and shout.
And to act. People were putting together banners, people who might not have been active in politics
Absolutely.
Otherwise. Tell us about
that. Lots of first time. Well, the way it might take shape in the projects and elsewhere. We put it on the Peace and Justice Network, so a whole lot of mainly white people, would come too, because it's needed to be a multinational thing. We don't believe in letting black people protest stuff that affects them. And I mean, that's just a totally wrong view. And it frankly leaves people hanging out to dry. So we've always been out there against police brutality and things like that that comes down on black people. But yes, there were some really original signs. There was one of the chants was Trayvon did not have to die. We all know the reason why the whole system's guilty. The whole system's guilty. Or Trayvon Martin, Emmett Till, no more youth getting killed. The whole system's guilty. And we, of course, made reference to Emmett Till, who was a Trayvon Martin.
A banner from one of the housing complexes in the neighborhood. Tell us about that went down to Florida. About the housing complex, people got together and put together
a banner. What we did was, with people, we printed up leaflets. We went around. We called on people to come out. There were I would say mini rallies, if you want to put it that way. We had the big poster up and we had a sound system and people really vented. And as it got closer to the verdict, people really smelled a rat. I mean, it was palpable. You know, people knew something wasn't going to happen good. And then they threw out, if you remember, well, you can consider manslaughter. And people were not satisfied with that. But I think that was a definite thing to kind of, you know, cut off some of the anger. And
What's the fallout from this? Does this lead to anything? Does this
organize? Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people, and I know y'all here, you know, this is a slap in the face and a punch in the gut if you really have a conscience and have some feeling for the way things should be. That what we're going to do is continue to protest. They built a new jail. They just kicked all the kids out of downtown after 11 o'clock, mainly black children. That's what this whole curfew was directed at. And then people say, well, they have nowhere for them to go. And we said, well, you know, that's funny. They just spent $100-something million for a place for them to go. And that's where they put them. It's a jailhouse. That's what they did. So we point that out to people. And as a revolutionary, I say, it just can't be that we keep banging our heads against the wall. That I think there can be a better world. I'm a communist. I think the Trayvon Martins and the Rachel Gentels could have a much different future where they could be creative and really unleashed. But that's going to take a revolution. And what we need to do now is really educate ourselves and people like this system. Like you said, when it's working, it's horrific to most people. And I'm just talking about U.S. I'm talking about all over the world. So that's where I'm coming from. But we put that together. We also act now. You know, that's what we were doing. And we really want to bring these things up and talk to people, especially the youth.
Well, I'm going to talk more about that curfew, Tim. We have our reporter here, Jeff DeBerry. Downtown Greensboro is ending now the second week of that teen curfew. It's illegal for anybody 17 or younger to be downtown in Greensboro without accompanying adult. City Council imposed that curfew after a recent street fight downtown. Jeff DeBerry is WUNC's Greensboro Bureau Chief and joins us now. Tell us about that and how it all came about the curfew itself and what was behind it.
So last Saturday of June, there were a couple of fights downtown, total of 11 arrests of teenagers. And when I first heard that, teenagers, thinking, okay, 15, 16, 17-year-olds, maybe experimenting with alcohol or marijuana, driving for the first time, kind of getting some of that independence and getting into some trouble. I have been there. I think many of us have been there. But it turns out that was not the case. We were dealing here with 12, 13, and 14-year-olds, which to me was a little bit surprising, and folks I talked to were also surprised by that. Why they're fighting, still not entirely clear, whether this is a high school rivalry thing, a middle school and high school rivalry thing. Heard from one city council member that there were folks coming in, there were young people, young men and women coming in from High Point. A series of fights happened. There were not weapons that the police have declared or told us about. It was a series of fist fights. 11 young folks were arrested, and they enacted this curfew less than 4 days later. They held an emergency special meeting of the city council, passed it on the 3rd of July, tried to get a curfew in place for the July 4th weekend.
One fight?
A couple of different fights. Mm-hmm. And the curfew goes into effect. There was there were 9 more arrests over the July 4th weekend. According to one of the police officers I talked to, it was not as big of a loitering issue. There weren't as many people out. So that's where we stand at this point.
Do we know the racial makeup of the group since it's been raised in this conversation?
It is predominantly African American. Mm-hmm. The folks, the young people who are coming down, from what we can tell, and of course it's not as easy to tell when people are getting arrested who are 12 and 13 compared to 24 and 25 because they're minors. Many of them are coming from nearby neighborhoods that are the poorest in the city, probably among the poorest in the state. And, you know, there's this interesting conversation, these questions that community members have raised to me about, you know, all the money that has gone into downtown, all the money that hasn't gone into some of these poorer neighborhoods. And we're dealing with issues of ethnicity and class and, you know, how do you build downtown? How do you include everybody? I mean, I think it probably should be inclusive to the whole community. How do you welcome everybody? How do you balance that?
Well, and weren't there some models for this in Winston-Salem had a similar problem and came up with a different solution?
They did. Back 6 years ago, Winston-Salem, as its downtown was really starting to explode, they had an issue. And I didn't believe this at first when somebody in the city manager's office told me, They had crowds of 400 people, young teenagers, getting a little bit older, that were coming down to Winston in 2007 in the summer, again, just after school got out. And it wasn't as much of an issue of violence, but what this gentleman told me was they weren't spending money. They were just kind of loitering. They were getting in the way, and we felt like we needed to do something preemptively. They did. They started a series of concerts, not bands, but DJs. They did it in front of, if you've driven on Business 40, one of the big bank buildings, the Wachovia building in Winston. They did a series of these concerts, and it, I don't want to say alleviated the problem, brought the young people elsewhere. It gave them something to do. They were happy with it, and they didn't have any problems after that.
Well, the city didn't feel the need to impose a curfew after that, so whatever problems they had, apparently not serious enough to go to that level.
It was considered, but they did not implement a curfew, no.
All right, well, Jeff, thank you very much for being with us. Jeff DeBerry is WUNC's Greensboro Bureau Chief. Tim Hopkins, an organizer for Stop Mass Incarceration Network and an organizer for the Trayvon Martin rally in Greensboro this past Sunday. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. There's more of the program just ahead. Please stay tuned.